what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
If you think of the body in an engineering mindset, similar to an electrical grid or other types of grids where traffic occurs and messages have to get from point A to point B, you kind of understand that if you mess up that grid, if you mess up the basic pathways by which those messages can get there, that it causes problems, similar to a traffic jam on a traffic grid. Dr. Bossel is professor of neurology, director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Research at UCLA. And he himself has a bit of an engineering mind, and that's what drew him to the work with Alzheimer's and other cognitive impairments that people are dealing with. And Dr. Bossel, we have talked a little bit about, you know, what it means, where it's come from. But I think the thing that we can offer the people the most hope with tonight is where is it going? Where is research on dementia, cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's? Are there signs of hope that we've seen and uncovered in recent days? And if so, what are they and what do they look like and what do people need to know about them?
There are many signs for hope. More recently, we've developed as a medical community, this has come through industry, anti-amyloid vaccines. These are vaccines that are somewhat analogous to a COVID vaccine that inject an antibody into the bloodstream, and these antibodies can get into the brain and clear the amyloid plaques quite effectively. What we found over the years is that we need to dose these antibodies very high, and in some cases these high doses can result in some adverse effects. So we're currently trying to find the optimal dose of these drugs, but we do find that there's a hint that they are slowing the disease course or the disease progression. There has been some controversy over the recent approval of Aduhelm, and this is the first disease-modifying drug that has received approval from the FDA. There is hope in such a drug because one of two clinical trials did show a slowing of decline when given over a year and a half. There are some additional drugs similar to this Aduhelm that are made by other companies, Roche and another one by Eli Lilly, as well as a third drug that Biogen is developing with Eisai. And we think that we're on the right track with these drugs. The advantage of some of the newer ones is they can be given subcutaneously and eventually maybe even at home. We will get some results later this fall and some results in the spring. Really look forward to learning about that. But we know that anti-amyloid vaccines are not the answer completely. They may slow the course of the disease, but they are not a cure. So we are also going after tau with immunotherapies. My own work with anti-seizure drugs will likely result in improvements for a large group of patients who are developing silent seizures. And anti-inflammatory approaches are becoming more important, as well as looking at lifestyle factors, which we think could actually, when optimized, prevent up to 40% of dementia.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because obviously there's so many ways in which immunity and diet and a healthy lifestyle can have a positive impact. What are some of the things that you are seeing from lifestyle that people could put into practice now, especially if they were in a family that was at risk?
There are many aspects of lifestyle that can help. There was a landmark study done just a few years ago called the SPRINT study that showed that lowering of blood pressure in middle to older aged adults can lower one's risk of developing dementia. And these are in people who had baseline hypertension. And the aggressive goal was to lower their blood pressure to below 120 in the systolic range. So what that implies to me is that really any lifestyle change that one can implement that can help them to be healthier from a cardiac standpoint can also be good for the brain. And this can include exercise. This can include a diet that's well-balanced and avoiding too much red meat. And it also includes regulating one's stress. And this stress is something that we all deal with. And, being able to really have some quiet time and address things like mental health can be also important for lowering one's risk. More recently, we found that addressing hearing loss as well as vision impairments are important for preventing dementia. And all of these together can lower one's risk by quite a bit. And but when patients do develop dementia, it's not always due to issues with how they've lived. There are also genetic components which account for the remainder of the risk.
Right. No, you mentioned that earlier, and that's why it's important for the drugs and the treatments to continue to be pursued, because we don't know and can't pinpoint the cause across the board. But knowing that there are some lifestyle things that can be done is encouraging, and that's a practical point. When you have a patient who's diagnosed at the very beginning, what's kind of your normal talk to the people that will be around them and will be caring for them? How do you try to help prepare them for what's ahead?
We do that on an individual basis in terms of what kind of questions people have. I'm very open about how this disease is going to impact the patient as well as their family. And it's really important to plan ahead for what kind of help that someone may need at home, as well as how to keep their loved one safe. Oftentimes it requires a social worker to be involved, and they can give a lot of practical tips on helping to regulate their sleep cycle, helping to keep them in routines that make them feel more comfortable, helping to keep track of where they are, sometimes with a bracelet that can help keep them from getting lost.
Yeah,
we sometimes have to address driving, unfortunately, and that becomes an area of contention many times.
I'm sure.
But when people are impaired, it is important to get them off the streets, because this can save lives.
Keith Vossel, is there a website that you recommend that people go to seek more information on many of the things we've discussed tonight, and just how to be best educated on the development of Alzheimer's and what's going on?
A couple that I think that I use a lot with my patients is from the Alzheimer's Association. They have a lot of educational material.
Okay.
Also, the Family Caregiver Alliance. Those are two good sites.
Okay. Alzheimer's Association, the Family Caregiver Alliance. Dr. Keith Vossel, thank you for your time tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed speaking with you.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.